Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You know that I could be in love with almost everyone. I think that people are the greatest fun. And I will be alone again tonight, my dear.
The Book of Love gets a new chapter. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a rare 1970s album from this cult psychedelic band, Love, finally gets released. Plus, we follow up on our conversation on misophonia with more of your stories on the agony of everyday sounds, and a live performance from songwriter Gabriel Kahane and his band. But we begin in L.A. in the 60s. The folk rock scene gave birth to bands like The Byrds and The Doors. One band on the scene that didn't quite achieve that kind of mainstream success was this group called Love. You're hearing one of their best-known songs, Alone Again Or, from the 1967 record Forever Changes. Well, this fall, a rare 1973 album from the band called Black Beauty will finally get its official release. The story of the album tells us a lot about race, rock, and the band's enigmatic frontman, the late Arthur Lee. Our guests include one of the musicians who played on the record and the music writer and Love biographer, John Anderson, who joins us from the CBC studios in Winnipeg. John, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, nice to be here.
Can you tell us, just sketch for us real quickly, what was Love?
Well, Love was the first interracial band, certainly to have any national prominence, but coming out of California. And Love was Arthur Lee, and Arthur Lee was Love. I mean, as you said, an enigmatic character, someone who, when you saw the band, your eyes were focused on Arthur, and he was the driving force in the band, the songwriter in the band. And, you know, very influential character. I mean, Jim Morrison
called himself
from the
Doors. First black hippie.
That's right, yeah. You know, Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek used to stand in the doorway at the Whiskey and watch Arthur Lee and Love on stage. And, you know, Ray Manzarek said to me, so, you know, all we wanted to be was as big as Love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could be as big as Arthur Lee and Love, then we'll have made it.
Well, wasn't it Arthur Lee who actually got the Doors, you know, sort of gave them their first leg up in the industry?
That's exactly right. Arthur and the band had signed to Elektra Records, and it was Arthur who convinced Jack Holzman, you know, to go and see the Doors because he thought certainly there was something special about the band.
Jack Holzman was the head of Elektra Records for so many
years.
That's right.
Yeah, and he didn't get the band the first time. And Arthur kept saying, go back and see them again, go back and see them again. And finally Jack got the Doors.
Mm.
He figured out what was happening with them. So, yeah, Arthur was the man who got the Door signed.
But his own band, Love, never reached that kind of international acclaim. Are you surprised that, you know, there has been this album just kind of like sitting there on a shelf somewhere for almost 40 years and it's never been released before?
It really is amazing that as you say, it's been sitting there for such a long period of time, considering that any kind of recordings by Arthur Lee or by Love, I mean, have long, you know, been coveted by fans. And his
mm-hmm.
fan base has only increased over the decades and, you know, and grown and grown and grown. So it's a big moment for Love fans to have this come out.
We're talking about an album called Black Beauty. It was recorded in 1973, never released because the record company it was supposed to come out on folded before they could actually issue the record. It is just coming out this fall. John Anderson is author of the book Forever Changes, Arthur Lee and the Book of Love. And if you're not acquainted with this group from the late 60s, early 70s, here is Arthur Lee and Love and a couple of tracks from their hit record from 1967. And then I think you'll see a pretty big difference in sound when we hear something from Black Beauty.
Yeah, said it's alright. I won't forget all the times I've waited patiently for you. And you'll do just what you choose to do.
I don't know if I am living or if I'm supposed to be. Sometimes my life is so eerie. And if you think I'm happy, paint me
worry about that. Everything will still be all right.
All right, you heard two quick excerpts from the 1967 album Forever Changes, pretty much by universal acclaim, the best album by Arthur Lee and Love. And now in the background, this long-lost 1973 album called Black Beauty. John, kind of a dramatic change in sound, isn't it? Very much a kind of a post-Hendrix thing here.
Yeah, very much so. You have to remember that in 1967, when Forever Changes was released, it really commercially bombed. It did not sell very well. And part of the problem was it was this magnificent album, but Arthur wouldn't tour. And, you know, that was still back in the day when you had to go out on the road and be seen and promote a record, but, you know, for it to be a hit. So, in fact, the album kind of languished because of the fact that Arthur did not like touring. He wouldn't go on the road. So when the album didn't sell well, even though it got critical acclaim, Arthur turned his back on that style. I mean, he wasn't going to be the hippie folk rocker kind of guy anymore because it didn't sell. It was not a success. So his attitude was, okay, well, I'll move on to something else. So everything he did, you know, following Forever Changes was in a more harder rock vein because that's kind of the direction that music was going, but also the way he wanted to go. He was a huge fan of Jimi Hendrix, but it was kind of a dual relationship in that he looked up to Jimi Hendrix for Jimi Hendrix's success, but he also resented the fact that Jimi had become, you know, the psychedelic black man, whereas Arthur was the first psychedelic black man, and Arthur kind of felt that Jimi had stolen a little bit of his shtick.
So, but, I mean, Jimi, of course, toured. Arthur didn't tour. Why?
He had his everything. The whole scene in L.A. was perfect for him. He liked to be in his own bed at nighttime. He could drive down in his fancy cars, his Porsche or his Rolls Royce, do a club gig, do a gig at an arena somewhere within the L.A. vicinity, and be back up in his gated house on Avenida del Sol, away from the public, away from the police, away from everything, and just be himself.
Away from the public, away from the police? You can't just drop that into the middle of a sentence and move on. Why was he avoiding the police?
Well, he could do whatever he wanted, whatever kind of recreational drugs that he was into. And he was certainly heavily into drugs. And by living in the top of a hill at this gate, you know, kind of that protected it all, Arthur was living in his little kingdom.
Some of the musicians who, you know, had worked with him talked about police harassment for the crime of DWB, driving while black. And so I guess Arthur would have certainly had some instances of that. Now, to get back to Black Beauty, you know, and race and rock, certainly we can talk about this in a few minutes. But just a practical question, John, where have these tapes been? It's been almost 40 years. It was a completed record. Where have they been?
Well, the tapes themselves actually aren't around. What they got was they found acetates. When you go into a studio and you record, and you finish the session, often they will write there, they will make you an acetate. I mean, this is back in the days before digital, of course. Mm-hmm. And they would you know, just press. An acetate is like a single, but it looks like an album, and it's kind of on cheaper vinyl. And you get to take that home and listen to it and decide if you want to change songs or
it's
whatever,
like a test
maybe
pressing.
Even use it for promo. That's exactly what it is. And some of these test pressings were in various hands. And I know that Diane Lee, Arthur's widow, had spent a lot of time along with Mark Lynn, who had worked with Arthur years before. They managed to find some of these, and one was in the hands of one of the guys who played in the band. Another was in the hands of John Sterling, who was in a later version of the band. So from that, they were able to then almost digitally remaster and remix the tracks to make them sound great, and they do sound great.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Against All Odds, new record by the late Arthur Lee and the band Love from 1973. The record's called Black Beauty, and this is called Good and Evil, Young and Able.
I'm young and able, don't want to set the table. I do what you do. what I do. I say what you say. You say what I say. Yeah.
Arthur Lee and the band Love, recorded in 1973. The album is called Black Beauty. It is just coming out this fall for the first time. The song called Good and Evil, Young and Able. We've been speaking so far with John Einarsson, music writer, author of the book Forever Changes, Arthur Lee and the Book of Love. His new book just out is called Four Strong Winds, the story of Ian and Sylvia. He's with us from the CBC studios in Winnipeg. And joining us on the line now is Joe Blocker, one of the musicians you're hearing in the background. That's him behind the drums in this version of the band Love. Joe, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Hello, John.
Tell me a little bit about...
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Tell us a little bit about this song, Good and Evil. There's some kind of social commentary in this album, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you exactly about it. We were sitting around in Arthur's living room listening to some speeches by Malcolm X. And Malcolm X said these words. He said, don't be fooled. Just because you're sitting at the table doesn't mean you're a diner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what inspired Arthur to write that song. If you listen to some of the things he says in the song, that's kind of what he's talking about, amongst other things. I mean, as with all of Arthur's lyrics, you know, you can take it three or four different ways. So,
right. Now,
that was what inspired that song.
What about the album title, Black Beauty?
Well, if you listen to the titles, if you look at the titles of Arthur's records, not the titles of his songs in particular, but the titles of his records, they all sort of point to things in the directions of his life. For instance, when he was finished playing with that, this is just what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
When he was finished playing with that band, which he was finished doing when he finished that record, he decided to name that record Forever Changes. When he did the next record and was trying to get off of Elektra to get another record deal, he called that record Love for Sale. When he wanted people to think about him as Arthur Lee instead of just Arthur Lee from the band Love, he called that record Vindicator.
Mm.
And when he decided he wanted to have a band he wanted an all-black band because he wanted to play some different music, and he wanted to get back to the music that he grew up listening to, which, you know, being from Memphis, basically was blues and R&B. And soul music, he wanted a black band. He called that record Black Beauty. It's kind of simple. It's simplistic, but it's exactly what it was.
And, Joe, how did you become a member of this band? You must have been barely a kid at the time.
Yeah, I was 17 or 18 at the time. Arthur, who was about 11 years older than me, went to school with my cousins. They went to high school together. Dorsey High School. Yo, big up for the Dons, because I went there too. Dorsey High School in Los Angeles. And when I was probably 10 or 11, my cousins took me up to the Whiskey to see Arthur. And the doors, by the way, were opening for Arthur at that point. They
mm-hmm.
were opening for him.
This is the famous club, Whiskey A Go-Go.
Whiskey A Go-Go on the Sunset Strip. Now, being 10 years old, you know, about 10 minutes through their set, I was ready to go home. But that's how I came to know Arthur. And, you know, I didn't really know him, but many years later, Robert Rozell, who is the unsung hero of this record in that he's the one that brought us all together, he brought in the guitarist Mel Van Whittington, and he brought me in. He took me, he just came by my house, and I met him one night when I was playing at a club that, by the way, Arthur used to play at called the California. Arthur played there with Jimi Hendrix in the 60s, a club called California Club. He came in, I was playing there with Johnny Guitar Watson, I was 16, and he came in, Robert came in, and we became good friends, and he was never afraid to put me in the room. he just passed away last year, so rest in peace, Robert. We love you.
So he put together.
He brought us up. Well, first he brought in Melvin, and then he took me up to meet Arthur, who I remembered him, but he didn't really remember me. Well, he kind of did. He remembered my cousin, but he didn't remember me.
Yeah. Oh, you're the 10-year-old kid who wanted to walk out on me.
Yeah, was ready to leave. You know, I mean that had a lot of effect on me though, because I started wearing one gold shoe and one silver shoe. I mean,
Is that what Arthur did?
No. He wore sunglasses with one lens in and one lens out, but I wasn't really with that. I wanted to do something a little more practical.
Okay.
So anyway, he brought me up there, and at the time, they had another drummer in the band, a good friend of mine named Tim McGovern, who's a great drummer and a great guitarist, played later with the Motels and a couple other bands as well, and he was playing in the band, and Arthur just said, well, come to these shows and learn these songs, because I'm gonna get rid of him, and I want you in the band.
Wow!
Like that.
Wow!
So I mean, not in a bad way, because he told Tim as well. So Arthur was a different kind of guy, you know. He was about the music.
In 1973, Joe, you're 17, 18 years old. You've got this gig recording this record for Arthur Lee, and you're in that incarnation of the band Love. And instead of going back to the kind of material that we were talking about before, you know, with Forever Changes and stuff, it's got, you know, this record has the kind of heavy electric guitar, the Hendrix thing. It's got a kind of jazz, spirituals. Isn't there even a bit of reggae in some of this record?
Well, that's sort of, you know, Caribbean influence.
Yeah.
I would never go so far as to call beep beep reggae. But as I said, what Arthur found was that he could not play the depth and breadth of music that he wanted to play with the musicians he was formerly playing with.
Yeah.
They were pretty much rock musicians, folk musicians, that's it. Arthur was a huge, huge fan of all music. He particularly loved jazz, and he wanted people that could, if he had an idea and he wanted to play something that was soulful, he wanted to be able to do it and not be forced to play rock.
Right. So we got a chance to hear, as you say, that kind of Caribbean lilt in this song called Beep Beep. This is the band Love from the 1973 album called Black Beauty.
Beep beep. Slow down, man, 'cause you're going too fast.
Beep is the name of that song. Another different sound from the late Arthur Lee and his band Love, which back in 1973 included Joe Blocker on drums. Joe's on the line with us, as is John Anderson, the music writer and biographer of Arthur Lee and the band Love, the book called Forever Changes. John, he didn't quite have the profile of a Jimi Hendrix or the Doors or the Byrds here in the States. But what was Arthur Lee and Love's profile internationally?
Well, in Europe, and particularly in England, Arthur Lee was huge. I mean, Arthur Lee was like a god over there. And, you know, it was nice to see in the latter years of his life, after he'd been in prison, he had been imprisoned
for what? It was a gun charge, right?
Yeah, and it was the three strikes rule that he got hit by in California. And it was nice to see that he was able to go and tour extensively in England and throughout Europe and receive the adulation that for many years he had never had for his music, for his achievements. But he'd been largely forgotten in the United States by then.
You know, the first time Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin was on our show back in 2006, he was in New York to perform a benefit concert for Arthur Lee, and he told us that he couldn't tell us just how important Arthur Lee was to him. He said he got an enormous amount of inspiration from him. So clearly on that side of the Atlantic, some pretty important people were clued in to the importance of Arthur Lee. John Blocker, what about, you know, what did Arthur think about this record being sort of lying there all those years. Did he want this to come out?
Oh, absolutely. He always wanted it to come out because it's a missing hole in his story. Is what the way he used to say it. There's a hole missing in the story.
I mean,
he absolutely wanted it to come out. It's a transitional record. It's really. I mean, you know, we never thought too much about it because we sort of immediately went on tour. We went to England immediately after we finished that record. And then as soon as we got back, we got another record deal with RSO Records and then made another record and then went on the road with Eric Clapton. So in that time, we didn't miss it. But as time went along, it became apparent that there was something really missing because, you know, arguably, you know, he may never have really kind of felt that good about the whole process after that. I mean, I just remember having a fantastic time recording that record. We were very well rehearsed, and if you listen to it, you'll see that there's not many overdubs. It's kind of just four guys banging it out.
Right.
But he was really into at that time, as were we all. I mean, I was in college, so I didn't have a lot of time to sit around doing a bunch of overdubs at the time.
Well,
the people in England, some of them really liked it, you know, because he used to play those old songs. He wouldn't play them.
Well, who knew, though, that this work that the four of you, you know, banged out there in his house and in his guest house, both places, would take so long for the rest of us to hear? I know there have been occasional attempts to bootleg this thing, John, but this really is kind of a major, John, this is kind of a major moment for fans of the band Love, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Joe is right. It's a transitional album from Vindicator to Reel to Reel. And the thing about this album, too, Black Beauty, is it's far more eclectic than the previous album, Arthur Dunn, Vindicator. And it's, as Joe said, too, these guys had been playing together for almost a year. And you get a real sense of a tight band playing on this. And that's what makes this album really exciting. Vindicator, which preceded it, was really kind of almost like demos thrown together really quickly. But this is a tight band playing together and playing really, really well. So that to me, makes this a very, very exciting release for Love fans.
And Soundcheck listeners, whether you're Love fans or not, you can download the track you're hearing now called Skid on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. It's from the album Black Beauty by Love. John Anderson is the author of Forever Changes, Arthur Lee, and The Book of Love, and Joe Blocker is the drummer you're hearing in the background from this incarnation of the band Love. John, Joe, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
In a moment, we follow up our discussion about misophonia with some of your calls and comments. And then later, a live performance from the witty New York singer-songwriter Gabriel Kahane and his band. This is Soundcheck.